Welcome to the Sketchy Sketch Sketch Show podcast. It's open mic night for sketch.
We cold read some great comedy sketches, then discuss how they were written and give joke ideas.
And here to keep these goofs going, I'm Harrison.
And I'm Amy. In this week's episode, dagnabbit, this is a bad boy. Then the easiest $10,000 you've ever made. Finally, crushing imperfections. Then we hop on the riff train with Ken and Sam.
And stick around to the end for a fun writing prompt so you can write too. With us on the podcast today.
Jerry Stevens II, he, him.
Keely Anastasia, she, her.
Keith Estrella, he, him.
Kenny J, he, him.
Lisa Weitzman, she, her.
Sam Whitney, she, her.
Tyler Chick, they, she.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. You ready to goof around?
Let's goof.
Oh, yeah. We got some Aaron Carter stories in our pockets, I think.
One of us has Aaron Carter stories.
I only have a Weezer story.
And that's how I beat Shaq.
That's not as
fun. Okay, so I have always been obsessed with Aaron Carter. One of my truths in this life is that Aaron's Party is the greatest album of all time. And so I grew up a really big fan of him. And then on the day after my 19th birthday, I was living in Baltimore and Aaron Carter was on tour. And so I was like, okay, well, we have to go see him. And tickets were only $12 because it was later mid 2000s Aaron Carter, not way back when he was popular. And so my friends and I all went to his concert and I was vibing, having the time of my life, jamming to Aaron's Party, Come Get It. Oh my gosh. Just all of those songs. And apparently he had released new music since Aaron's Party came out.
What?
Why? I'm not sure. He already peaked.
What?
But I don't know. I don't know. And so, but I have this bad habit of hating not knowing the words to songs. And so I was just vibing, kind of singing along. And, they weren't complex verses or anything. So I thought I'd kind of picked it up. And I was just having the time of my life. And he literally stops. There's 20 people at this concert, mind you. There's not a lot of people there. And I'm front row. And he stops mid-song and at the front of the stage and points at me into the crowd and says, "You don't know the words."
Yeah, that's so funny. No, you stop now because you don't know them.
Yeah, and I literally just stood there stunned, and then he went back to singing and dancing, and all my friends were "Oh my,
that's hilarious!
Did you just get called out by Aaron Carter?" And then my sister, who was trolling me, was "She was like, well, did you know the words?" And I was "No, nobody here knows the words. They don't know these songs."
This is proof that child stardom produces cool, normal people.
What's Aaron Carter's most popular song?
Oh.
Aaron's Party, parentheses, Come Get It.
Or I Want Candy.
I Want Candy. Oh my gosh. Yeah. During I Want Candy, he threw Conversation Hearts into the crowd and they're really hard.
It's gonna hurt people, yeah.
It was a hailstorm.
Oh yeah. Once again, one child star, completely normal, totally okay person.
Reminds me of when my sister got married. I was probably 15 years old and they were throwing rice at her as they walked out, and I was whipping it at her, and I could just see her and her husband just wincing because I was just going ham on a dick move on my part, and I wouldn't do it now, but
you were 15.
I was 15. And
I have taught many, many, many 15-year-old boys, and they can be silly dicks.
Yeah. They can be.
Fair. Let's do some sketches.
Our first sketch today is titled Naughty, written by
Harrison Mert.
Clint will be played by
Tyler Chick.
Mama will be played by
Lisa Weitzman.
And Papa will be played by
Jerry Stevens II.
Exterior, farmhouse, day. Clint, 11, he, him, knocks on the farmhouse door hard. He don't got no shoes on and his overalls are covered in dirt.
Mama, Papa. Please let me come back, come on back inside, please.
Clint waits for an answer. Silence.
Mama, please. I promise if you just let me inside, I won't never be naughty again. Mama.
No, you done been too naughty.
Clint kicks rocks and sits down.
Damn gummit, I can't help being so naughty. I love the attention that comes along with being naughty. I'm sorry I done set all them little fires, Mama. I'm all done being naughty. No more fires.
Come on, Mama. Let's let Clint on in. He don't want to be naughty no more.
See, Papa knows I'm sorry. If you just let me back in, I will never be naughty again. Promise.
Silence. Clint stomps around, then grabs his shovel and starts digging. Mom and Papa look out the windows.
Oh, big lumpet. Clint, you quit digging holes. You quit digging up the yard. That is naughty.
Clint digs harder.
I know you don't like yelling, Mama. I know this digging is real naughty. I love the attention, though.
Hum, Flumbit. I thought you were sorry about being naughty. I thought you wasn't going to be naughty no more.
Clint puts down the shovel and goes to the door.
I promise I will stop being naughty if you just let me inside.
Won't be no different. When you're in here, you're just gonna stay naughty.
No, Mom, I promise I'll stop. I'm naughty because I love the attentions, Mama. Them sweet moments when you and Papa's looking at me, I love it. And sometimes, if I don't get that, I want it so bad that I don't even mind if it's yelling that makes you look at me.
Us letting you inside won't change that. You's just gonna rip up our new calendar again.
Or make wieners on the town map.
I won't do no more wieners on the mail or maps, and I won't rip up no more calendars. If and I'm inside, it's so much more likely that you's gonna pay attention to me without me having to do that stuff.
Silence.
Dap, hubbit.
Mama, if we just don't say nothing when Clint's being naughty, then being naughty won't work for getting our attention and he'll just quit doing naughty stuff.
No, Papa. I wish that could work because I don't like being naughty. But sometimes when you's and Mama goes away, I do naughty stuff so I can hear y'all tell me not to in my head voice. Like when I sold Maggie Sue to Griff McGluff. I done that one for the head voice attention.
Don't you say nothing about my favorite mule, boy.
Mama, quit yelling. I think I sees what's going on here. Clint, is you saying that if and we give you lots of hugs and kisses and sing your best train songs like we used to before you was naughty, then you quit doing naughty stuff?
I'm sorry I done ripped up my book of best train songs.
Mama and Papa open the door and hug Clint.
Clint, we loves you.
We love you so much, Clint. Sorry we done made you naughty with having work to do and other interests.
It's okay, Mama and Papa. I got something I want to tell you.
The hug ends. Mama and Papa look at Clint intently.
What you want to say, honey?
Clint looks at them seriously. We track in. Clint starts to get emotional and he looks at his parents. He grabs the bottom of his shirt and his face turns down. Then all at once his expression changes and he lifts his shirt up, exposing his nipples, and spits on Papa.
Fuck!
Disappointed, Mom and Papa close the door. Clint attacks the door.
Oh, no! Mama, Papa, please let me inside. I promise if you just let me in, I won't never be naughty no more. I won't expose my nipples or spit or say the worst curses I know. Mama!
Thank you, everybody. Thanks for reading.
Let's talk about that.
Thanks for doing that. Really, this just came from me. I was like in the shower or something, and I was like, I promise I won't never be naughty no more. Just like doing that a bunch of times. Just sort of ended up with this. I figured out I wanted it to be in the 1890s American South because I like writing that time the most. I mean, stuck in the muck, that one about the lake with the rowing. It's what I like best.
Yeah. The trains?
Yeah, the train the robbery one.
Train heist.
Yeah. But yeah, I just really liked the idea of like a little boy who was being naughty but knew exactly why.
You know, all the good bones of a sketch. I would have right at the end, I would have wanted another hit of drawn wieners and stuff.
Oh yeah, more drawn wieners.
Right at the end, like you mentioned, the mail, the town map, I'm trying to think of something else.
Yeah, I can find something to draw wieners on.
Yeah,
maybe in the dirt,
ice box. Is that 19th century thing?
Yeah, people had ice boxes back then.
Yeah.
I bet.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I drew wieners on the condensation on the ice box.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
Or he has whittled wieners. Wieners that are whittled.
Whittled wieners.
Whittled into my favorite walking stick.
If you don't let me in, I'm just going to whittle wieners out here.
I can't believe you whittled wieners on the front door of the church.
So, like, he's naughty for attention.
Yeah.
But he seems like he can't, like, he's getting their attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's naughty again.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm just trying to figure this kid out. So does he really want to be naughty?
No, he doesn't like being naughty. He just wants like attention.
It. So maybe despite speak to that a little bit. Like maybe
yeah, I guess I do have room to talk about it.
But just to say, with this last line or expand on it a bit, just to say, I really don't want to be naughty and just emphasize that I just can't help it. It's a habit now or something to explain why he's finally getting the attention that he wants, but he's just so naughty.
The attention didn't feel sustainable. I had to do something new.
I love the made up curses or like replacement.
Yeah, those are great.
I think the fuck could almost be part of one, like fuck gummit
or fuck gummit. Oh, I love that. Yeah. Well, fuck gummit.
Dag fucking. I won't do no more wieners on the mail or maps, and I won't rip up no more calendars.
Our next sketch today is titled Overflow. Written by
Sam Whitney.
Bart Stewart will be played by
Keith Estrella.
Dick Screwitt will be played by
Tyler Chick.
And Faith will be played by
Keely Anastasia.
Interior Law Library Day. Bart Stewart, 50s, and Dick Screwitt, 50s, are wearing bespoke suits. They are standing in front of a large bookcase filled with self-help books and a few books about the law. They are looking directly into the camera.
Do you believe in getting paid to uphold the sanctity of life?
Do you want $10,000? Well, we can help. I'm Dick Screwitt, and I've been practicing law along with my partner Bart Stewart for over 1 year. We are one of Texas's top personal injury law firms, and I feel personally injured when I don't see $10,000 in your hand. We don't give up. We were Houston's top bail bondsman for 2 years straight.
You may have heard about the new law in Texas that protects potential babies. It's called the Not One Drop Wasted Law.
It makes masturbating illegal, and if anyone can successfully prove in court a man was masturbating, they are awarded $10,000.
We want to help you save humanity. And while we're at it, get you $10,000. You deserve it.
A chyron at the bottom of the screen pops up and says the law firm of Screwitt and Suet takes 60% of the compensation.
So, ladies, if you notice any sticky magazines in the bathroom,
call us.
If you look in your neighbor's backyard and catch him jacking off in the shed,
call us.
If you don't know what that gel-like substance is,
call us.
If your brother-in-law is stressed before he goes into the bathroom and relaxed when he comes out of the bathroom,
call us.
We are here to help you.
Interior living room day, a woman in her early 30s named Faith is sitting on a sofa. She looks around and then looks directly at the camera.
I called the law firm of Screw It and Sue It when I noticed a weird, clear, jelly-like blob on the corner of the coffee table. They analyzed it and found out it was my husband's grandfather's. He was arrested, and now I'm $10,000 richer.
Faith smiles and holds up a huge wad of money. Bart Sue It enters the shot and walks over to the sofa and takes a huge wad of money out of her hand. He walks out of the shot.
I mean, $4,000 richer. If you see a wad, get a wad. Thank you, Screw It and Sue It.
Cut to Interior Law Library Day. Bart Sue It and Dick Screw It are now sitting at a large desk. They're looking directly at the camera.
We are also licensed in Ohio and all other 49 states, even Puerto Rico.
So if you or anyone you know was affected by the new Ohio law that reinsert sperm back into your penis,
call us.
If your penis is now the size and or shape of a balloon,
call us.
If it takes a half an hour to urinate,
call us.
If not even Viagra works,
call us.
Dial 1-800-777-JIZZ to save a life and maybe with some luck make a buck.
Dial 1-800-777 come. If your penis has been burning for 40 days and 40 nights, we're here to help.
Yeah, Sam, this is so funny.
It was a reaction to the new abortion law, and like, you know, what if you just flipped it? And, you know, the men were punished for something. So, you know, with their bodies. That's basically what I was thinking.
Love it.
Yeah.
Super fun.
It's great.
yeah, I really love the voice that you have for this. Like, just Bart Sue It and Dick Screw It. Just having those being their names tells the audience so much about what we're about to, like, hear. Also, I really like the way they talk and like how they are and the setup and all this ridiculous stuff they have, like the ability to practice law in 49 states, 50 states plus Puerto Rico,
which was pronounced Puerto Rico, which I fucking love.
So good, Keith. yeah. I mean, it's super tight. The voice is great. I have some stuff that I think could like tighten up a little bit more. The self-help book thing at the top is really funny, and I would just love to pay that off in some dialogue. Like, we read all these self-help books too. Like just pointing that out, just like a little bit. It feels like at a certain point they get to a thing where they're like talking about all the stuff they've done and like why they're the right guys. So like just pointing out, like, we read a bunch of self-help books.
If your chicken funny. Soup is getting thin.
Yeah, and then this is like a super nitpicky thing, but like you have this run here, which is very, very funny. So ladies, if you notice the sticky magazines in your bathroom, if you look in your neighbor's backyard and catch them jacking off in the shed, if you don't know what that gel-like substance is, if your brother-in-law is stressed before he goes in the bathroom and relax when he comes out of the bathroom. Super funny run. I love that run. I'd say make it a run of three. So like, I like what you chose as the last one. I think that's the perfect last one. But I think you just need two before it. And then you're like paying off the bit with that. The third one is the punchline.
I would love to see a part that's like, now remember, we're not talking about all masturbation. If you have a clitoris, go crazy. Do whatever you want. We're only talking about penis masturbation.
If you catch someone with the clitoris masturbating, we can't get you $10,000.
Don't call us.
If you catch that, leave her alone.
There's just no money in that for any of us. Stop calling about that.
I like leave her alone.
Stop calling about that. We have a whole answering let machine full of people calling about clitoris. Not okay. We had to hire someone just to deal with those calls.
That's taken away from the $10,000.
We were only going to take 30%, but so many people called about the wrong kind of masturbation.
That's why the numbers are 1-800-777-JIZZ-AND-CUM.
If your brother-in-law is stressed before he goes into the bathroom and relaxed when he comes out of the bathroom.
Our last sketch this evening is titled Bed Bumps, Sarge. Written by
Lisa Weitzman.
Betsy will be played by Amy D. Mom will be played by
Sam Whitney.
And Sarge will be played by
Kenny J.
Fade in. A mother is washing dishes in the kitchen. Her 8-year-old daughter runs in distraught.
Mom, I got a bed bump.
A bed bug?
No, a bed bump. A big bump in my bed. I made it real good, and there's a bump under the covers.
Oh, Betsy, that bump is probably your socks or your PJs. Don't worry about it.
But it's really bothering me.
Well, if that's the case, fix it. Then go outside and play.
Okay, Mom. I'll try.
Later that day, Mom in the kitchen, Betsy enters, upset again.
Oh, no, Mom! I still got a bump in my bed. It's so annoying.
Oh, honey, it's probably Toby, your cat. You know how high-strung he gets. Just leave him alone and go play.
It was Toby. I yanked him out, but there is still a really annoying bump in my bed.
Betsy, why do you care so much?
Miss Stinson, my teacher, says we should strive for perfection. But I pulled the sheets and blankets as much as I could, and it's still not perfect.
Well, then, learn to live with a bumpy bed, sweetheart.
I can't do that.
She exits. Following day, same scene.
Mom, there's a bump in my bed again.
Oh, honey, it's probably Grandma. Just. Roll her off.
I already did.
Mom gasps.
And I stretched the sheets and blankets and the bedspread as much as I could.
And there's still a bump in your bed? Oh, Betsy, despite what your teacher says, I think you would be happier if you learned to embrace the imperfection.
Army Sergeant randomly enters the kitchen.
Did I hear someone say embrace the imperfection? Ha! Not in my world. Drop and give me 50, mother.
Mom drops and starts doing pathetic-looking push-ups.
Betsy, just come from your room and your bed looks like a maggot made it. A maggot who's about to get a month of KP duty.
I don't know what KP duty is, but I don't want it.
Lucky for you, I've got the solution. You can embrace perfection instead of imperfection with the bed bump Hummer. Zero limits, zero compromise, guaranteed to crush those sack of shit bumps to dust.
Mom, let's get one, please.
Mom takes a break.
But honey, a Hummer is a gigantic army vehicle.
Did I tell you to stop, mother?
Mom!
Fine. We'll get a bed bump Hummer.
He smiles and helps her up.
Get up off the floor, Mom. You and Betsy can get ready to kiss those bed bumps goodbye.
Next day, Betsy is staring at her completely flattened bed, sitting in a cloud of dust underneath a Hummer. Sarge smiles at the camera and gives it a thumbs up.
Embrace the perfection.
Words scroll across the screen about APR and zero interest if you act now. Camera pulls back and we see the backs of Sarge and Betsy, but we can hear them say,
do you know my teacher, Miss Veronica Stinson?
Of course. All of us authority figures know each other.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that sketch.
This is a rewrite, and it actually started as a riff, and got a good idea from somebody, I forget who, about mentioned a book that was written by an army guy who did this commencement speech about, you know, having a good life somehow starts with knowing how to make your bed perfectly.
Pat yeah, McBride.
That was Pat.
What was that?
It was Pat McBride.
Oh, okay. Okay, yes. Pat. Thank you. Thank you to Pat. So I added the sergeant. And of course, bumps. I mean, when you're a kid and you make your bed, you got bumps, and they usually are pajamas and stuff. And my nephew, his cat would hide under the covers of the bed every time we visited because it was a nervous cat.
Yeah.
And so there was always that big bump in his bed. That's how it started.
I love the bump in the bed specific. It's very, very funny. The bed bump hummer is maybe the funniest fake product I've ever heard. It's so funny. It's totally insane. I love the Sarge thing. I love your justification of this, like, striving for perfection and, like, not being able to, like, let things be or like well let well enough alone or whatever that is. For my money, I would start with Sarge.
Okay.
I would start like with that morning where like Betsy's like, "Mom, there's a bump in my bed again," and then like do that whole thing and have Sarge come down and be like, "Did I hear embrace the imperfection?" Like that stuff's great. And I think that we can sort of intuit what comes before it, especially if we get, because this strive for perfection thing is so funny, especially coming from a kid. I'd love to hear Betsy just sort of be like, "Yeah, I actually don't want to embrace the imperfection. I need to get the bumps out of my bed because my teacher told me that I needed to strive for perfection. And now it's actually become an intrinsic motivation. It's something that I want." I think the more that like we hear that sort of thing, I don't know. I say always make the motivation intrinsic, but hearing a kid be like, "My teacher said it, and now it's a part of me," would be very funny.
It would be very funny. So you think I should bring Sarge in during the first beat?
Yeah, because I think the rest of it could just be like a genuine commercial for the bed bump hummer.
Okay.
Which is so fucking funny. I mean, like, just hearing what the bed bump hummer does, you know, like just explaining what a bed bump hummer, like it's just a regular hummer, but you drive it up onto your bed and it flattens the whole thing out completely. No bumps afterwards.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You might think bed bump hummer is just that us here at Bed Bump bought a hummer and we're just selling it to you with a little bit of markup, but we're not. We made the bottom of the Hummer completely flat, so your bed will be too after you drive it up on top of it.
Maybe a little bit of water and steam come out of the bottom like an
yes.
iron
yeah.
Yeah.
And
just, yeah.
And that's like so just, funny. It irons the bed out flat.
Yeah.
You can get a bed bump Hummer for twin, queen, king size. California king size Hummer.
Yeah. And I know what you're probably thinking. That's all just the same product. Sure is.
How do we get it into the house? Well, that's not our logistical problem.
Well, now with the bed bump hummer, we sell garage bed.
You will have to change your entire life in order to use the bed bump hummer.
Yeah.
You'll have to renovate your house.
For the bed bump hummer, I had bumps in my bed. And $94,000 that I did not know what to do with.
Is that how much they cost? Have you looked into this, Harrison?
I mean,
to a hummer?
I'm thinking about like the price of like a base model hummer, right?
Okay.
plus like whatever it costs to put like a flat thing totally on the bottom, plus some steam, like right. what an iron yeah. costs, plus the markup of the new marketing.
Yeah. And like a roll top side of your bedroom that will like yeah. roll yeah. up like a garage door so that you can drive yeah. into yeah. your bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Plus like a hydraulic suspension so it can get like over the bed and then yeah. off the bed. Maybe it's more, honestly. Do not drive bed bump Hummer on the regular road.
It's not made for that.
Its purposes are much more important than riding it on the road.
Yeah, I agree that I want to know it's a commercial on page one. I definitely agree with that. Okay. But I also, I feel like how it's written set up now, it's set up that we find out what the bump is later. Because you have all the things that the bump isn't. So it's like, so what is causing this bump? And I kind of still want to know what it is. Like, that could be a blow of like, oh, it's grandma's teeth. Or I don't know. Like,
yeah.
So just you finally figure out what it is. Or like after you flatten it, it's like, that's where daddy went.
Yeah.
Be so good.
It's dark, but it's good.
Oh, it was grandma.
Yeah.
Guess she didn't roll her off then.
Cut to the funeral.
Oh no, there's a bump in the casket.
And then Sarge comes back. Yeah.
Casket Hummer.
Drop and give me 50, mother.
Oh, what's that noise?
Well, you'd be correct. On aboard the Rift Train. Hello.
What's up with your voice, Mr. Kentucky?
Is my voice is different? How does it sound?
You sort of you undulated a lot when you said hello. You went, hello,
like Santa the from train that was old moving.
It was a little bumpy arrival.
There's
the
a
station.
Bump on my train.
I would want to get to the riffing now. So who's up? Who's got the first riff? Come on,
Mr. Conductor. I made a reservation.
Passenger kit, you made a reservation. Oh, well, I'm going to have to get the other. I'm going to have to get the other punch ticket out here. All right. Yeah, here you are. You're the only one who made a reservation, by the way.
I had a feeling it was going to be a crowded train.
Well, yeah, I guess it's. Sure.
Okay. I love your customer service, Mr. Conductor.
Thanks. I pride myself on this work that I do as a conductor. And it's good. Okay, lay the riff on us. Let me just put this back. What do you got?
All right. Nursery rhymes. And how screwed up the actual meanings of old nursery rhymes are. Mm. So what I kind of had in mind was like, it started out like a Craig Ferguson inspired talk show and having a guest on, but I kind of moved it to a podcast in my mind. You know, it's all about queens and kings dying and, you know, people getting sick. And I'm like, and we read this to kids like, ooh, yeah. This is all cheery, you know, like London Bridge is falling down. Oh, okay.
I would like if, you know, Georgie Porgy or whoever is confronting the Brothers Grimm about like why they wrote such dark material.
Like a serious interview podcast. Yeah. I'd love to hear like serious interview and it's like the music from like The Daily or something like an NPR show. Hi, I'm Georgie Porgy. Welcome back to
excuse me.
Today we're talking Miss Mary Mack. We've got the Brothers Grimm here.
It's our guesty Westy. I'm Georgie Porgy, and we have our guesty Westy.
People say this was inspired by Ring Around the Rosie.
Right, yeah.
I mean, so many of them were cautionary tales. You know, Ring Around the Rosie was the plague and the petals and all
right,
that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you ring around the Rosie, it's about the damn plague.
Right. So, right.
Oh, yeah, that was it. Sorry. The guest was Peter Pumpkin Eater.
Okay.
Just because it's funny to say. So.
Okay, Peter Pumpkin Eater. And you want us to sing this to kids?
Yeah, and his nursery rhyme is about him killing his wife and sticking her in a pumpkin. So, like,
good God. Right.
You look at the meaning of some of these things, it's really you could have a lot of fun with it.
Well, you got to teach kids early that life is scary and evil and terrible, terrible things will happen to them. And we got to start teaching them that at the age of 3 or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Georgie, it's just I just want the kids to not rush into marriage.
I just want them to be aware of, you know, you have to calculate what your wife is and what kind of pumpkin you're going to need in order to stick her inside of it. Yeah.
Like, sometimes the right thing to do in life is just move on.
Basically, I'm just teaching children logistics.
Look, if you don't have a plan together for what kind of pumpkin and how big your wife is, then you're not going to be able to do this at all.
You're not going to be a functioning adult when you grow up.
I mean, what if she says something you don't like? What are you going to do?
What if you're having a big dinner party with all your friends, all your work colleagues, and she says something about her opinion?
And you're scrambling to find a pumpkin you can stick her in.
Yeah, it's the middle of July. Where are you going to find a pumpkin? Because you didn't plan ahead.
So that's why I wrote this song for kids.
So do you know where that came from? I'm thinking like Peter Pumpkin Eater had a wife. He couldn't keep her, put her in a pumpkin shell, and there he kept her very well.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yes.
Yeah. Lisa, you know it.
I didn't realize I did.
And there's a second verse about finding another lover and not being able to keep her either. So
really, that's
wow.
Yeah.
Common denominator on that one.
That's so wonderful and terrible.
I think this is a Peter problem. I don't think it's the women.
Always is.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell was going on in England in the 1500s? You know.
I'd love to hear that, like, whoever wrote that, try to explain whatever that was.
Yeah.
Reading, like, Hey Diddle Diddle or, like, a weird one that makes no sense, just being like, so what the fuck?
Where were you going with this? Makes yeah. sense. Life is scary and evil and terrible, terrible things will happen to them, and we got to start teaching them that at the age of 3.
Next passenger up. Who's all aboard now?
That would be me. I waited for the train to slow down, and then I jumped in.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very safe of you. great. I like the enthusiasm. I like that a lot. You got some spunk. So I'm excited to hear what your riff idea is all about. Let's see.
Okay, so it's a dating game. And there's only two, there's a woman, she's kind of obsessed with like murder shows and all that, you know, kind of dark. And then she has to choose between a mass murderer and a serial killer. And then they're like debating like, well, which one is worse? Well, you know, I killed a bunch of people, but it was only one time. And I was just really angry about it. And then the serial killer, you know. More than killing. So.
Makes plans. Yeah. I'm passionate. I'm smart.
Yeah.
I'm calculated. I always plan ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, I was passionate when I killed all those people at one time. Mm-hmm.
I'm really spontaneous.
I like to do things big.
Yeah. I was always told go big or go home.
Right.
I like my privacy.
Oh, I do too.
What questions could she ask?
Where would you stab me?
Yeah.
How deep of a grave would you dig?
I would pick you up in my Chrysler LeBaron with no plates on it. We would drive out into the desert and we would watch the sunrise.
Murderer number one, if you killed me, what trophy would you take from my body to remember that?
That's a winner.
I would take my 10-inch long machete.
Oh God, don't answer, Keithy.
And I would cut out your tongue.
Murderer number two, what would you do with your 10-inch long machete?
I'm so sorry. I was referring to an actual machete and not my penis. I can see how you might think that. I'm so sorry.
Great, thanks.
It's all about like all this like terrible violence, but then they still use like the euphemisms from 70s game shows. So it's like, after you killed me, where would you take my body to make whoopee?
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
Naughty.
I also like the idea of it being like cutting to commercials of just really normal, like Land O'Lakes butter.
I think that's a good riff.
Sketchies, here we are at Assignment Station. Looks like the assignment is sci-fi. Think about classic sci-fi tropes you want to play with, or maybe you want to do a trailer for a certain kind of sci-fi movie. You can think about like what's happened to the Star Wars franchise.
Yes.
You can just play with any of the classic tropes of sci-fi, anything you want to think about, what you don't like about sci-fi you've seen in the last 10 years, or what you do like, or what you always see in sci-fi. You can do a commercial parody or a trailer parody, or you could just let people exist in a sci-fi world in a sketch. Cool. Yeah, let's get writer's plugs. I'm going to plug our classes. We got a level one enrolling if you're in the Harrisburg area or anywhere near there. Check out Amy's Harrisburg. Teaching a class.
York.
Go to sketchysketchsketch.com. You can see all our classes. We're running free workshops.
Chambersburg.
Okay. Thanks, Keith. Okay.
Thanks, Keith. Shut up.
We're running free workshops for if you don't know how to use screenwriting software, so you can come to those. We'll teach you everything you need to know about how to use screenwriting software and format your sketch right. We're also running an a podcast editing workshop. It's 2 days. You can check that out. We'll show you how we edit this podcast and teach you how to do it.
All right, everybody, that is all for us. Thank you to all the participants and to the Jeff Powers for the music you've heard. Also, a big thanks to you, the listeners. If you'd like to support the show or check out more that we have to offer, head on over to sketchysketchsketch.com.
And while you're there, check out our Patreon, where you can be the ultimate Sketchy Sketch Sketch fan, or check out our classes, where you can learn from us. Speaking of, if you want to get a sketch on this show, email your sketch to sketchysketchpod@gmail.com, and we'll get your sketch on the show.
We'll do it. And feel free to reach out to us. Send us an email. Go to the website. If one of the sketches you've heard really impacted you, or you have a joke idea and you'd like to give some love to the writer, hit us up on that website where there's a place to do all of that.
And as always, if you like what you heard today, please tell your friends. Check us out on socials. Take our classes. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars.
Yeah, do those things, because that helps us in lots of ways. And that we know you're out there, that you exist, that you're a listener, and you love us. So that's all for us today, everybody. Have a great life.
Have a great life. We want everyone here to have a great life.
The whole rest of your life has got to be great. There's no other options.
Live every moment to the fullest for us.
Mm-hmm. Only for us. But, you know, for you too, that side benefit.
Sure. For you too, I guess.
I guess.
Thank you very much.